This concludes today's installment of the Alan Watts radio series. Of course, we'll have another installment for you next Wednesday at 11. I want to briefly and quickly update you on the roads. We're told that Gandy westbound is shut down at the moment. Also, big, big problems on the I-4. Shut down in both directions, apparently for miles and for hours. So wise to avoid that one right now. We'll keep you posted throughout on the update on the I-4 on WMNF. Right now, it's nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which the focus today will be the life of retired racing greyhounds. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. It's They Might Be Giants with a piece called Cowtown here on WMNF. They Might Be Giants with Cowtown, an animal song of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live on the internet via the station's fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show seeks to learn about animals and animal issues and celebrate animals, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, and we're podcasting on iTunes, including all our programs we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, but the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Barbara Massey, president of the Florida Southeast Coast Chapter of Greyhound Pets of America, a national nonprofit organization whose chief purpose is finding homes for former racing greyhounds while educating the public on the virtues of adopting greyhounds. Dog racing is legal in 15 states across the country, and Florida has the most tracks at 16. So we'll find out more about this world and the dogs that are pivotal to that world when we speak with Barbara Massey in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. All right, briefly, as always, we're going to hit a little animal news items and or announcements. And speaking of greyhounds, Greyhound Rescue and Adoptions of Tampa Bay, Inc. and Greyhound Pets of America, Tampa Bay Chapter, are proud to announce the second annual Parade of Greys, a walkathon to benefit retired and rescued greyhounds. It's going to be held Saturday, February 2nd, 2008, of course, at Al Lopez Park. So rain or shine, come enjoy a 1 mile walk, fellowship with other greyhound lovers, and learn more about the different groups that work to find homes for retired racing greyhounds. Registration begins at 11 and the walk begins at noon. There'll be food and beverages and games, raffles, and more. So for more information, call 813-971-4732 or email greatinfo@great-greyhound.org. That's greatinfo@great-greyhound.org. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Tom Shalhoub with a piece called Animal Shows on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
I like my animal shows, right? You like the animal shows? Guys like animal shows, right? Come on, we work all day, we want to go home, we want to watch animals eat other animals. It relaxes us, I don't know why. I've noticed something, I watch these shows all the time, though. Don't they always try to make you feel guilty? Just for being human? They give you that human guilt trip at the end of the show, no matter what species of animal it is. They always come in with a deep voice at the end of the show when the sun is setting. The guy's like, the snow leopard has but one natural enemy. Man. Like, I'm killing the snow leopard. I don't even know what it is. I saw this the other night. I got home on TV. This is what's on TV. The condor. The condor is flying in slow motion over the Grand Canyon. And the guy with the deep voice is like, the condor used to have the Grand Canyon to himself until the white man came. I'm like, oh, you got to make it racial, huh? Like the condor cares about that? Like there's some black guy hiking in the Grand Canyon, the condor's like, you're okay, dude. It's the white man I got a problem with.
All right, that's Tom Shalhoub on today's Comedy Corner with a piece called Animal Shows, taken from his album entitled Overconfident. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our show last Wednesday with award-winning reporter Leslie Griffith discussing Ringling Brothers. We also have a blog, a link to the new Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. We're looking for friends. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. And, of course, remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Barbara Massey, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I touched on a few moments ago, she is president of the Florida Southeast Coast Chapter of Greyhound Pets of America, a national nonprofit organization whose chief purpose is finding homes for former racing greyhounds. Barbara also holds a marketing post with the national organization. And across the country, dog racing is legal in 15 states, and Florida alone has 16 tracks, so we're talking lots of dogs here. So much to cover. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Barbara Massey to Talking Animals. Are you there, Barbara?
Hi there, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals.
No problem. Anything to promote the retired racers.
All right. Well, let's just sort of jump in then. It may be useful to sort of begin talking about the normal stages of a racing greyhound's life and career. Maybe you could just sort of walk us through the main beats from puppyhood to the time they ideally get adopted.
Greyhound puppies are born in many areas of the country, but a lot of them are born in the Texas and Oklahoma area. A lot of the farms are out there. And they're just treated like regular puppies for quite a few months, allowed to grow just like a normal puppy would, run around together, play together. About a year, year and a half time, they start their training and learning how to run. And about a year and a half, they may start going to different tracks and doing what they call the puppy stakes, which is where they will run as against other puppies, not against the big guys yet.
Mm-hmm.
And following that, they either find out that they are good at racing, or that maybe they really don't want to race. They prefer sitting on your lap than running the lap.
Well, how does that work? How is that determined? And really, the way you phrase it, it makes me wonder, how much of the say does the dog have in the issue?
The dog has a lot of say in some of it, because if the dog just says, okay, I'm going to stop, and he stops in the middle of the track and turns around and starts walking back, he's retired.
Right. And do all those dogs then at least with any luck find homes, or find a more unpleasant fate? Or I mean, what typically does happen at that point if they're just not found to be suitable, quote unquote, for racing?
The retired racing industry has changed since organizations like Greyhound Pets of America has come into existence. And we've been in existence about 20 years now. Because of the fact that we are there to take the dogs, and there are other agencies also that can take the dogs, but we are the largest, the owners and the trainers are much more reasonable with holding on to the dogs until we can take them. And so many, many of these dogs find homes. We have placed over 65,000 greyhounds into loving homes in the past 20 years.
Wow, that's a lot of dogs. Again, just makes you wonder, you know, what percentage that 65,000 is. But speaking of percentage, what percentage of those who've raced make good pets, make good companion animals?
I have never seen one that hasn't made a good pet or a good companion, depending upon the circumstances that they're placed in. Some are a little more high prey and might not get along with your cat. So we have to kind of look at the dog itself and test it with a cat and see if it is more friendly to cats and other small dogs. But as far as placing them, it seems very easy. They are very gentle, docile creatures. They do get along with children. They do get along in families. They do get along with senior citizens. We try and place the dog with the person and match them together.
Sure. And the thing you mentioned a moment ago about them being high prey, which must be an industry phrase, but is that a product of training, or is that a product of just that specific dog's personality, or both, that would make them, again, maybe more of a concern about if you had a cat in the house, maybe not a good fit?
Well, any dog you would have to watch with a cat, mm-hmm. when you first bring it into a house.
Sure.
I have six of my own here at the house, and five of them are absolutely fine. If there's a squirrel running, they're going to run after it, this type of thing. But I have one that is high prey, and that I have to watch a little bit more careful when we are around any small animals.
I see.
So it is something that's in them. They are trained, of course, to chase something that runs.
Sure.
Or that is moving,
mm-hmm.
which is the lure, is a moving object.
Mm-hmm.
And it is nature. It is something that's in them to chase prey.
Sure.
And, of course, we, with a greyhound, they are given the opportunity to do this on a continuing basis, to chase something that's running.
Right.
And so they will be more apt to want to do so.
Right. I have a question about that. But let me just let our listeners know again, this is Talking Animals on WNF. If you've just joined us, we're discussing greyhounds with Barbara Massey of Greyhound Pets of America. If you'd like to join the conversation, offer a question or comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So one of the things you kind of just said there, Barbara, I mean, obviously as part of their training, you know, the idea of chasing something is cultivated. Now, to what extent, if any, can that be, I'm making up a word here now, but decultivated? I mean, once they're retired, is it just so ingrained both instinctively and by training that it's hard for them to sort of back off that, or in some situations, depending on the home and who's in the home, that maybe can be lessened?
The situation is not them chasing something. It's what they do with it when they catch it.
Mm-hmm.
What I have done with my one that's very extremely high prey is taught him, the drop it command and the leave it command. And with the leave it command, he not only leaves the object, but he moves back two steps so that I can very easily retrieve that object. So if by any chance he had another animal in his mouth, he would drop it, leave it, move back two steps, and I could make sure that that animal was okay.
Okay, good. Well, looks like we've got some calls here. Let's take one of our callers here. Hi, you're on WMNF with Barbara Massey of Greyhound Pets of America on Talking Animals.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just want to ask her, just so we know how brutal the sport is, how many dogs are destroyed each year?
We do not go into that, and we don't take an issue on that. There are fewer and fewer dogs destroyed because of the fact that there are groups to take the dogs and owners to adopt them.
I understand that, but you really don't have any idea how many dogs are still being destroyed, because
no,
I knew it used to be a huge number.
No, there are much, much less, and it happens very much more seldom than it ever did before.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
We certainly are doing the best we can to place as many as we can. Our problem here in Florida, and it does happen in some other states, but mostly here in Florida, is the condo and homeowners restrictions on the size of a dog. Greyhounds, as you know, run from usually a small female is like about 53, 55 pounds, and you can have males up to 90 pounds. So what you're talking about is condo restrictions on dogs under 50 pounds. We can't place the dog, no matter how much the owner wants one.
Yeah, I can see how that would be, again, specifically in Florida, where I got to believe just overall by virtue of how many tracks there are in Florida. I mentioned in the introduction there's 16 tracks, I think, by last count. So, yeah, there must be an enormous number of dogs that you're trying to place. But, yeah, if you're up against those restrictions, so much the tougher. I mean, based on, the Florida does have so many tracks, I think only 15 states across the country maybe operate or at least legally operate Greyhound tracks. With those figures in mind, Barbara, how many dogs would you say become available for adoption each year, both nationally and then in Florida specifically?
Oh, I really couldn't give you numbers to tell you the truth, because what we do also is we take dogs and haul them from the Florida tracks to other states that don't have tracks, where there are other GPA chapters. We have chapters all over the United States. There are 52 chapters in all the various states. And we will send dogs to other chapters, and they will then adopt them out from that area. So we can move dogs in two ways, adopt them right here or move them to another state where there's plenty of foster homes and places for them that have been thoroughly investigated and they're good homes for them to hold until they're ready for adoption.
And plus then I guess most of those other states you probably don't run in as often to a condo restriction on what sort of canine people want to bring into their
Not as much
home.
As you have here
yeah,
in Florida.
For
and
sure.
the thing that really gets me too is that most people don't realize how quiet these dogs normally are. Most of them don't bark. As a matter of fact, my first Greyhound, I didn't know he had a bark for 6 months.
Wow, that is a quiet dog. Well, we've got both a call or two here and an email. Let me read you the email, Barbara. What are typical health problems for Greyhounds, and what is the life expectancy? That's an email from Brian.
As with any big dog, the life expectancy of a Greyhound will be 12 years. If you are lucky, you might get 14 years. Health problems are, they do have to have their teeth cleaned frequently, approximately every year, depending upon how much you do the cleaning in between. And there is some osteosarcoma in the Greyhounds, but this occurs in various other dogs. There is no hip dysplasia like there is in some of the other bigger breeds because of the fact that these are very muscular dogs and they are bred for the racing and those legs are very, very strong.
Okay, and this is Talking Animals, by the way, on WMNF. We're speaking with Barbara Massey about Greyhounds. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 813-239-9663 or you can pop us an email like Brian did at dj@wmnf.org. Now, with that 12 to 14 years life expectancy that you mentioned, Barbara, where in that 12 to 14 years normally do they emerge from their racing careers if they are racing Greyhounds?
Anywhere from 2 to 5 years is the normal time.
I see.
The two-year-old would be a puppy who either just didn't do well on the track or doesn't want to run or is just not going to make it.
I see.
Then the three-year-old, four-year-old, it might be that they've run and they're just not winning anymore, so it's time for them to retire. It could be due to an injury, just with anyone running, whether it be a human or a dog or anything, injuries can happen.
Sure.
So it can be a pulled muscle or something, and that's a reason for them retiring.
Gotcha.
If they are winning and they are big winners, they will race until they're around the five-year-old level.
I see. All right, we've got a few calls here. Let's take another one of those. So, hi, you're on WMNF with Barbara Massey of Greyhound Pets of America and Talking Animals.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about today's program.
Sure.
First of all, I really appreciate the fact that WMNF is doing a program on this subject matter.
Okay, good.
And,
thank you.
Yeah, I missed part of the earlier part of the show, but I do think that greyhounds are beautiful, docile creatures. And I think that Barbara may have mentioned this earlier, but the reason why they do not have a great deal of personality is because of the lifestyle that they keep, which is not one of, you know, being a lap dog or living inside someone's home with a lot of attention.
Oh, I beg to differ with you on the personality of the greyhound.
Okay. Well, you can share those comments. I just wanted to share my perspective for what it's worth. But I've had friends that have had greyhounds, and I just think they're such beautiful, beautiful animals. And I think that we should pay attention to the root cause of why there are so many greyhounds that need to be adopted. And I would encourage everyone to reconsider going to these greyhound racing events, because, you know, this is an issue of concern for all of us, anyone who loves animals. And I've had friends that have had greyhounds and have had major, major medical issues with their dogs because of the fact that they were, this was over 10 years ago, Barbara, so it's not applicable today, perhaps, but they were left for dead after they were determined not to be in good racing condition. So I just really think that we should pay more attention to, supporting any type of organization that is using animals in such a way that they are an entertainment purpose and for that value alone.
Okay, thank you for your call. And Barbara, maybe perhaps you'd like to respond to that at least briefly. We're sort of running short on time, and we want to get another call or email or two on if we can.
Definitely. Anything that happened 10 years ago is no longer applicable, and our organizations are out there, and we are taking the dogs, and there is no more of those issues of dogs being left for dead, so as she says.
Mm-hmm.
We do support the work that the Greyhound Tracks do. Many of the tracks are very supportive of our efforts and will help us fund surgeries for dogs and so on and so forth. Once we get a dog, it is spayed and neutered. We do not allow any dogs out of our organization that are not spayed or neutered. And they are well taken care of both by the owners and the trainers and by us until they get home. And as far as the personality, I cannot tell you how much personality some of these dogs have. And they are so different. Some of them are lovable lap dogs. Some of them are a little more aloof. They have all different personalities, and it depends upon the dog itself, just as with any breed.
All right, Barbara. And a big sort of core of that caller's question brings me to sort of, a parallel question, which is, you know, sort of the philosophical differences within the greyhound adoption community. It seems like there's different schools of thought about racing, including those who think it's, you know, an inhumane practice that should be banned, as it was, I guess, three-plus years ago in the state of Pennsylvania, or shut down, and those who embrace a more friendly, cooperative attitude toward the racing industry. And it sounds like, if I follow you, the Greyhound Pets of America sort of falls in the latter camp, just sort of saying, hey, racing exists. We've got to do something to help the dogs.
That's exactly our opinion.
Mm-hmm. And, I have another email question. It sort of overlaps something we touched on, but it might be a different way we can go with this, too. One email writer, Curtis, says, how are they with cats? Now, we've kind of said that some cases, obviously, if they're high prey, they're difficult, but are you aware of a number of or some homes that have adopted greyhounds that also have cats in there and that everybody's peacefully coexisting, or is that a rarity?
It's totally amazing how many people have cats and then they decide they want a greyhound. And to me, it's like, you know, where did you get this feeling of these two particular animals and living together? But they do. They live together beautifully. There are some greyhounds that lay with their paws in front of them and the cat curls up inside the paws. So it happens very, very frequently that the dogs can learn to get along with the cats.
Okay. Well, I want to get to some other calls and emails, but I also want to touch on something, because this relates both to your group and a local group that I mentioned previously. So there's a couple of events coming up in the near future. First of all, your organization, the Greyhound Pets of America, but the Florida Southeast Florida chapter, has a luncheon and fashion show fundraiser on January 26th at the Harriet Himmel Theater in West Palm Beach, for anyone listening online over in that direction. starting at 11 a.m. So you can call 561-737-1941 or email events at greyhoundspetsfl.org for info on that. And then locally here, there's the second annual Parade of Greys. It's a walkathon to benefit retired and rescued greyhounds on February 2nd at the Al Lopez Park. And for information on that, the registration is at 11, the walk's at noon. You can call 813-971-4732 or email greatinfo@great-greyhound.org. So we might have maybe just a minute or so left, Barbara. Let's take another call. And hi, you're on WMNF with Barbara Massey of Greyhound Pets of America on Talking Animals.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, two brief things. Maybe Barbara could mention something more about the foster program for greyhounds while they're waiting for home.
Okay.
Second,
yes.
I think you probably touched on a little bit, but I know so many people view them as racing and running and hyper, but... you know, explaining more about their actual behavior. They're very calm and docile and very loving animals and really not much shedding problems. I'll take the comment off the air.
Okay, thanks for your call. You certainly sound pro-greyhound, so let's maybe finish up with that response, Barbara, since we're sort of nearing the end of our time here.
Very true. We're always looking for foster homes for the greyhounds until we can get them adopted, and it's a wonderful thing if you can do it. They are very docile, very calm, very sweet, and loving animals. They are couch potatoes. However, they do enjoy running a dog park or something like that. If you don't have a fenced-in yard, can always be the way to get the dog to have some of this energy that's used up in, during the week.
Okay, Barbara. Well, gosh, I'm afraid we are out of time, but I just want to let people know that the website is Greyhound Pets. Well, first of all, it's greyhoundpets.org, and then Barbara's organization specifically is greyhoundpetsfl.org. For more information about greyhounds and adopting, and again, locally here, it's great-greyhound.org. So, Barbara Massey, thank you so much. Again, the event coming up to raise funds for the organization is January 26th, Luncheon and Fashion Show. And Fashion, by the way, means the dogs are modeling as well at the Harriet Himmel Theater in West Palm Beach, 11 a.m., and the second annual Parade of Greys here in Tampa, February 2nd at Al Lopez Park. Great info at great-greyhound.org for info. All right, Barbara, thank you so much. And... thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Duncan.
All right. I am Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which we hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our new MySpace. We're looking for friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, your very own Talking Animals coffee mug, in which every beverage tastes just a little better, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. Okay, with the canines on the mind, let's name that animal tune on WMNF.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may think my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you.
Okay, we've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back Wednesday, February 6th, when our guest will be Marty Sanders, amateur herpetologist and snake wrangler and longtime guitarist with Jay and the Americans. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today hosting the Sonic Detour, and I'll return for another edition of Talking Animals Wednesday, February 6th on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song tied to a WMNF concert by an amazing artist and electrifying performer, Sharon Jones and the Daft Kings, who will be at Skipper's January 22nd meal. This is them now with a song called Fish in the Dish right here on WMNF Tampa. We'll catch you next time.